I'd say do a question.
Let's do one wise question.
That's a lot of pressure.
Did I scare everyone?
Yes, sir.
May I not be wise?
Sit down then, sorry.
In the context of customer private provider concept, is there any care about the well-being of the provider? Has that been taken into consideration? Because it's, from what I understood, what you said in that model, all the care of well-being is toward the customer. The provider has been completely ignored.
Yes, that's right, except that the providers contractually... The question is, within the consumer-provider model, is there any attention to care of the provider, that it seems to be tilted in such a way to only consider the interests of the patient? I think two things. One, there is the consideration of the provider, but only as a contractor. And so, again, the provider can't be treated unfairly, cannot be asked to provide services without payment, cannot be asked, you know, unreasonably and so on, but there's not been a concern about the moral agency and sort of integrity and conscientiousness of the physician.
That's exactly what my question, because as a provider, exactly like as a consumer, we all come from a different background.
That's right.
Different ethics and different religions and beliefs, and therefore the rights of the provider, in a way, I see them logically. It has to be respected within a model. For a model to be successful, the two sides have to, the rights of the two sides have to be respected.
That's a good point. The point was made that for a model to be successful, both sides have to be respected. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there is any structure which makes another person merely a means to an end for another, makes one person a means to an end for another, makes one person subject to the coercive demands of the other, is one that leads toward a sort of tyranny and will end up ultimately corrode the very practice that it's trying to preserve. I think it's going to be in the name of keeping out this thing that's disturbing people. There, I believe this movement is actually eroding the foundation of medicine. Correct. Yeah.
That it actually works for what it's supposed to be.
Right.
But a profession, to my mind anyway, involves another layer of responsibility, which is whether that profession is the legal profession, for example, or a medical profession, or anything who is strictly considered a profession, there is an ethical component to it. But even at the request of the patient, I do not act against the good of the patient, or the good of, in the sense of the solicitor, of the client, or whatever it might be. That I retain that ethical dimension there, which I must apply in my practice. And it seems to me there's a whole move, you mentioned in terms of healthcare providers, that it's a move towards making medicine more of a trade.
That's a
profession.
Yeah, very briefly, the comment was noting the distinction between a trade and a profession, or at least it's one helpful metaphor. Yes, I think the question here, again, is what do we profess when we profess to be physicians? And that's what's often pushed off on the side. But I think what we do profess is a commitment to discipline ourselves to a set of practices and training and commitments to put ourselves at the service of those who are sick or whose health is threatened in some way or whose health is diminished in some way, and to use all our best judgment to do that. And that does differ somewhat from most trades, where their commitment is to provide a product or a skill that's been refined and is competent, but without the same sense that there's an obligation to decide when using that product is good for the person and when not. It's an important difference.
We could possibly just take one final question,
right here,
and then I'm just going to point out to Dr. Philip O'Dwyer, if you might just stand up and raise your hand. He's a big, tall gentleman there. He's going to be walking very fast for lunch immediately after this last question, so stay on his coattails and you'll get there.
Yes, last question.
When I say no, I'm an OBGYN, and when I say no to some treatments or diagnosis, sometimes in discussion with my colleagues, I hear your arguments. I shall provide everything, be open for everybody. But very often the argument is that I don't have any sympathy for the patient, that I don't care for the patient, there's no charity, and then especially as a Catholic. So there are good discussions, but I would be interested what you...
I'm glad that's the last question. This because it's one to go away with it in your minds, hopefully. To win this debate, we have to win the hearts and minds of our neighbors and our colleagues. And part of that is we need to not use the language of demanding a right. I've got a right to not do what I don't think is right. I think there's a very understandable lack of sympathy for that. There's a sense of, what are you demanding your rights for? You're the doctor, okay? What we need to emphasize is the truth, which is that I want to do what's best for my patient, but if this practice is, in my judgment, not consistent with what's best for my patient, how can I do that? How can I as a physician, how would you as a physician do something that you did not think was consistent with your patient's good? What would that be? I mean, how can that be fulfilling my commitments as a physician? So we need to remind folks that the conscience is acting to judge for a physician whether a practice is consistent with the patient's good. It doesn't refer just to yourself. It refers to what is the good here and your obligation in it. And I think we need to use that language. And in my experience, people can hear that a lot better than I've got a right and, you know, you got to back off of my rights. Thank you.